Ephesians chapter number 5, and of course, if you were here this morning, you know too that we'll also be looking at some things in John chapter 2. The Lord birthed this message really in my heart this past Thursday morning in prayer, and I love it when a message comes out of talking to the Master. I love that. It don't always happen that way, but I love it when it does happen. And it be so big and be so real while you're praying about it that you almost are praying, preaching about it. And then you realize this is not just praying, this is a message. And grab a piece of paper real quick and begin to jot down some things. And I love it when it's that way. That's the way this message was and is in my heart. I believe without a doubt it's the greatest need in the church. And when I say in the church, I'm talking about believers, individual believers, and then also us collectively as believers. Can we imagine, and I don't think I can, and I don't believe any of us can really, but could we even make an attempt to grasp what RBT would be if every person, every saved person here made it their chief concern to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine that? I mean, we have seen over the years, we have seen the results of carnality. Carnality kills. The Bible said this, that to be carnally minded is death. So carnality kills. It killed Lot and his whole family when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah and lived a carnal life. Carnality kills. And that is no respect of persons. It doesn't matter if it's a preacher. It doesn't matter if it's a teacher, singer, husband, wife, child. It doesn't matter who it is. Carnality will cost you more than you ever want to pay. The worldly life will cost you. It may be fun. It may feel good. But the cost is going to be greater than you can bear. There's parents, no doubt. There's parents that have chosen that their family go in a carnal direction. And they have all of the thrills and frills of that. But when their children won't get saved because they're so hooked up with this world, that is a high cost. That is a high cost for carnality and worldliness. But on the other hand, Romans 8, that same verse said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded, to be spiritually filled, is to be spiritually controlled, to be saturated. What would happen at RBT from the pulpit through the church if we were saturated with the Holy Spirit? You ever seen a sponge, ladies in the kitchen, sponge and it's saturated? It goes through that, it's done past that absorbent stage and now it's saturated. May God help us to absorb but also get saturated. And you know what happens when you get saturated? The slightest pressure forces out on everything it touches what it's saturated with. May we get saturated with the water of the Word. And may we at times get squeezed and allow the pressures to bring what's out, bring in what's in us out of us onto others around us. We need that, don't we? Ephesians chapter 5, we're trying to preach as we started the message this morning on be filled with the Spirit. And I want to ask a simple question. I don't want you to answer out loud, but just answer in your heart. A yes or no question right now, January 17th, Sunday night, service, RBT, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Right now, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? And you know what the answer to that most likely is for about everybody in here, if not all of us? It's probably an answer of no. We're either filled or we're not filled. Those water pots in John 2, they were either filled or they weren't filled. There wasn't no partial filled, half full. It was either you're full or you're not full. Amen? And so, of course, I knew the answer to that question. I can answer that for me, and probably it's like we're probably that's true with you as well. Probably not anybody in here could say, preacher, right now, probably I'm probably not full. I could probably closer to God. I could probably be closer to God than I am. I know I could say that. But the second question I'd like to propose to you tonight is just in my heart is, are we heading in that direction? I may not be full, but I'm heading in that direction. There was a starting point with those in John 2 with those water pots. There had to be a starting point. When Jesus said, fill the water pots, there was a time when they put in the first dipper load or first bucket load, right? It wasn't full, but they was heading that way. They was going back to the well or the spring or wherever they got their water, and they got another bucket and went in and dumped it in. That wasn't full, but they were heading that way. We may not be filled, but are we heading that way? Are we making choices? Are we being obedient? Are we putting into our life those things that God has told us to do? Well, amen. Flow through me, Lord. Just flow through me. That's what I want, amen. Boy, I'm telling you, I ain't nothing tonight, but I am God conscious right now. I feel His presence, buddy. I believe we're on target. Hey, man, I believe the devil's not afraid of us. I understand that. But I know this, the devil can't stand a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled believer. He can't handle it. I believe he's got to get you out of that status and out of that before he can defeat you. I believe that. Amen. May God create a hunger in us and a thirst. I've had people to tell me, preacher, I don't know all about what you're preaching, but I want it. Amen. I had them tell me one time this morning, preacher, I ain't there, but I want it. I want it. I want to dump another bucket in my pot. I may not can say I'm full to the brim, but I want to be able to say that I'm working on it. I'm working on it. It's not a little quick thing. It takes time to go to the river, the creek, or the well and get a pot and bring it and dump it in. Amen. But the devil see you working on it. He said, oh man, I believe I'm gonna be in trouble in a few days if they keep doing this. And he'll try to get you distracted. He'll try to get you distracted. He'll try to say, you're tired today, you don't have to pray. And that's how you put water in there. It's prayer and being obedient. Anyway, I'm going to read verse 18 of chapter 5, verse 18 of Ephesians. The greatest need, no doubt, of the church. And by the way, he starts in chapter 4, verse 1, dealing with the practice of the believer. The earthly behavior and conduct and choices of the believer. He starts in chapter 4, verse number 1, and he deals with relationships. He deals with relationships. He deals with relationship to other believers, relationship to spiritual gifts, relationship to your former life, relationships to evil, chapter 5, relationship to the Holy Spirit, relationships in the home life, chapter 5, verse 22 and following. And right on down, even into chapter 6 of relationships. But verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things for unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. I pray you'll stir within my heart, Lord, more than you ever have in my entire ministry. Lord, I pray that you'll take me to a level that I've never been in my ministry. Lord, I don't want to just get back to where I once was. I want to, Lord, you to take me deeper and higher and further than I've ever been. And I pray, dear God, that you'll help me to be salt that will make people thirsty. Lord, help me to be light that will shine light upon those that are in darkness or will have areas of darkness in their life. And Lord, may there be a measure of conviction, Lord, that would, dear God, come from our life upon them. And Lord, I pray that you will stir me, Lord, more than I've ever been stirred. And Lord, I can attest to the fact that when there's a lull, it is easy for me to fall into that as well. Lord, when there is a stillness and an apathy, Lord, it's easy, God, for me to fall into that myself. But I can't make a difference, Lord, if I'm just in the same shape everybody else is in. Lord, I pray that you'll help me, and I need help. I need help from you, Lord, and I need help from other believers that would step up as well and make their spirituality their responsibility and get serious about it. Because we are in difficult days, and it's going to take a spiritual walk to be able to make a difference in this hour. Have your way. Help me to preach. Help me to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I was looking at these verses again this afternoon, and I began to notice that the Spirit-filled life, as referred to in chapter 5, verse 18, is connected to a lot of key areas in the believer's life. For instance, it is connected, as I pointed out this morning, to our walk as a believer. Verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. If you look at that verse, just face value, it will teach you and show you and me that the very indication that we are dear children is that we are followers of God. Are you a follower of God tonight? A follower means he's the leader. A follower means that you are interested in what he wants and where he's directing. Him being the leader, you being the follower, means that you want to imitate him. You want to copy him. You want to be like him. Amen. I remember growing up as a child, I wanted to be like Daddy. I wanted to be like Daddy. I thought he had a big S on his chest. I thought he could jump over buildings and hey, wasn't nothing Daddy. Come on, you remember? There wasn't nothing Daddy couldn't do. You remember thinking like that? Daddy could fix it. It don't matter what it is, Daddy can fix it. Amen. Not realizing probably Daddy's went tore it up, but they don't think that. They think Daddy can fix it. But there is the walk that is that's talked about in verse 1, in verse number 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Verse number 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse number 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Brother Mark mentioned to me after the service this morning about an illustration he heard of what that word circumspect meant. And I'd heard some illustrations down through the years, but I'd never heard that one. He said to walk circumspectly is like a barefooted man walking through the barnyard where the chickens are. You watch every step you take. Isn't that right? I mean, you make sure that you're not stepping where you will regret to step. That you will not step where there will be a stink involved. And that when you get around other people, they'll be able to tell by looking and smelling that you did not walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. Somebody said that walking circumspectly is a lot like a cat walking across the top of a fence. And on both sides of the fence, you got bulldogs. That cat's going to walk circumspectly, carefully, making sure every placement of every step is in a sure spot, not slippery. And amen. Would that not help us if we walked circumspectly? So anyway, the scriptural walk is dealt with. And by the way, the only way that can happen is if you're filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit affects your walk, right? And then not only that, verse 7 and 11 and other verses here deals with the separated ways of the believer. The separated ways of the believer. It starts out in verse 3. And you can look at this when you get home. I'm not going to read them. Verse 3, 4, and 5 gives a list of sin, categories of sin. And then it said at the close of that, in verse number 7, he said, "Be ye not therefore partakers with them." So our walk, our scriptural walk is dealt with, and also our separated ways are dealt with. That is, God said if you're filled with the Spirit of God, God will work separation in you. These people that are in verse 3, 4, and 5, and 6 will be wicked people with wicked ways. But he said in verse 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." The Spirit of God is your separation. I said that way on purpose. Separation is not what you do for God. It's really what God does for you. "Be ye therefore as children," if I could insert that, "as dear children, as followers of God, walking in love, be not partakers with them." Amen. A sure indication that you're not spirit-filled is that you are a participant and an associate with people with sinful ways. Are you listening? All right. Look again, let's give another proof text. I'm giving you this because this is what the Lord showed me this afternoon that needs to be dealt with tonight, and then we'll go right on. We'll get on with it. Look, if you will, in verse number 11. Well, let's read verse 10 with it. "Proving what is acceptable unto God." The word acceptable means well-pleasing. "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Watch this. "And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So I say again here, we find the separated ways of the believer is in context here with being spirit-filled. Now that is not popular preaching, because we're living in a day of do what everybody else is doing and it don't matter how you live. Jesus loves you anyhow, and He does love you anyway. He loves us, yes. He loved us at our worst, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did love us at our worst, but His love is not a condonement of our sin. Amen. So verse 11, and notice verse 12. And by the way, look at this, and I'm going to ask you a question. "Have no fellowship." That didn't say you can't be friendly. There's a difference of being friendly and being a friend. Being friendly is that you're wanting to win them to Christ. Being a friend is that you're wanting to be with them and associate with them and run with them, and that's not really being a friend. Amen. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Watch this. But rather reprove them. Works of darkness. How do you deal with darkness? Light. Walk as children of light. Verse number 8. Walk as children of light. Talking about the separated ways. And then, if you'll notice this, in verse number 14, that's in the context of being spirit-filled, there is the awaking from sleep that is referred to here. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And boy, I believe most people in church today are asleep spiritually. I believe most churches are asleep. The spirit-filled life, buddy, will wake you up, won't it? The spiritual life, God is desiring to wake us up. And then verse 19 and 20, connected with being filled with the Spirit of God, is spiritual worship. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual worship is connected to being filled with the Spirit. You won't worship if you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Are y'all listening? Remember what we brought out this morning, that the Spirit of God is my contact, my connection. Anything that I want to get to God must pass through the Holy Spirit. How much of our worship never gets to God? And I want to say this, and you know, most of you will be able to relate. Have you ever really worshiped God? Amen. You can be in church and not worship. Worship can be going on all around you and you not worship. But you can worship whether anybody else is worshiping. You can worship at the house. You can worship God, but I know this, according to this text, there will be no spiritual worship apart from the Holy Spirit. Another thing, write it down real quick, is the wasting of seconds, is what, just for lack of a better term, verse 18 or 16. The redeeming the time because the days are evil. There is the wasting of time referenced here. The sure evidence of not being filled with the Holy Ghost is wasting time. Amen. I was talking to the pastor of the church where I was preaching at this week, and I preached actually on being filled with the Holy Ghost Thursday night. And God dealt with the pastor. And he told me, he said, "Preacher, I had to get right with God." He didn't have to tell me that. I never had met the man, you know. But he said what the Lord dealt with him about was wasting time. And he had mentioned something that he said, soon as I wake up in the morning, he said, I check my Facebook. And he is like me. I use mine right. I mean, I post things on there that's Christian, that's related to faith and related to truth and all of that, prayer requests and so forth. But he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm talking about just doing nothing but scrolling." He said it wouldn't be nothing for an hour to go by. He said, "I wasn't posting nothing." He said, "I wasn't really even," and he said, "none of that stuff even mattered." He said, "but I was just scrolling, reading, seeing what somebody put on there." You know what he was saying? He wasn't saying that was wrong, but he's saying that it was a waste of time is what was wrong. Amen. Look at what you do a lot of. There may not be nothing wrong with it in itself. But if it consumes valuable time that could be given to other things, spiritual things. What if you took just the time? Let's just say that Brother Frankie, that was his name, Brother Frankie Hunt. Didn't want Brother Frankie to talk, I was talking about him. But Brother Hunt told me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I could spend an hour just scrolling." I said, "In other words, you saying it was a habit?" He said, "Yeah." And then me and him both was talking about it. I said, what if you'd have took that same hour that you spent scrolling, reading nothing, nothing of any significance, nothing that really is going to matter, and transfer that over into an hour in the Word or an hour in prayer? But oh, we don't want to do that, because that flesh would rather scroll than to get in the prayer closet. Amen. I just use that as one illustration. Now, I know I've been in meetings where people just about put you in hell if you got a Facebook. That don't bother me. It don't bother me one bit. It don't bother me one bit. As my grandma said, it didn't touch a hair on my back. Amen. Because I use mine right. But here's the thing. I guarantee you, I've been like Brother Hunt, scroll too much. Scrolling and spending, you know, probably throughout a day. I mean, you figure just a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here through the day, you may spend an hour or more just doing that. Wasting time. Playing video games. Watching television. Amen. That's right. Are y'all listening, preacher? And we've all got things. We've all got things. Now listen, we might as well just nod our head like that. We've all got things that are time consuming. And they're not wrong. A lot of them are not wrong in themselves. But the fact that they get in the way of the best things is hindrance. Amen. Well, so on and so forth. In verse 17, the last one, if you want to write down on that, is the scriptural will of God. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is inseparable with the will of God, right? All right, let's turn to John 2, and I'm just going to probably deal with one point tonight or so, maybe two. Because I don't mean to, I believe this is of utmost importance. I don't know but what the future of this church is riding on these, what we do with this. That's how strongly I feel it in my heart. Amen. I'm not just in the pulpit filling space. I believe God birthed this in my heart for RBT for such a time as this. In John 2, I'm not going to read all of it because you're very familiar with it, but verse 1 through 11 deals with the marriage of Cana of Galilee. And they ran out of wine in verse 3. They wanted wine. And, of course, Mary went to Jesus and said, they have no wine. Verse number 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Verse 6, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Verse 8, draw out now and bear it unto the governor of the feast. That's another command. And the Bible said, and they bear it. Obedient. Obedient. Verse 9, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. We are making the connection, if you were here this morning, and if you weren't here, let me give you just a brief connection of John 2 and Ephesians 5. The same word in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. The word filled. That same word, that same Greek word is used 2 times in verse 7 of John chapter 2. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots. And then the Bible said as their response, their obedient response, and they filled them up to the brim. So we have in John chapter 2 an illustration and demonstration of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And so this morning, our first thought that we covered, or tried to this morning, was in verse 3, the craving of being filled. And when they wanted wine, now I'm not going to take the time in this series or this multi-part message to deal with the subject of was this fermented wine. That's a whole other subject, and to just answer it real bluntly and plainly, no, it was not. Amen. And how dare anybody say that the holy, sinless Son of God, who condemns strong drink everywhere in the Scripture, would here create it himself, is a person whose elevator is not going all the way to the top floor. But there's people that will use this. Here I am preaching on it, said I wasn't going to. They'll take this passage to try to justify their loose drinking habits. Say amen right there. That used to be in my life before I was saved, and I'm ashamed of that. I wish I could be like many in here that said I've never tasted. I wish that was my testimony. But it is not my testimony. Amen. And I am not bragging on sin. I am bragging on the grace of God. That God saved me, and from that moment to this very present moment, I have never desired or to have partaken of any alcoholic beverages. Don't even have no desire to. Say amen right there. I know there's some that justify, there's churches that don't think there's nothing wrong, and here I'm preaching on it. Social drinking. Just a little dab and a little this. Well, God told Timothy to take some for his stomach's sake. Yeah, study that out, would you? That's a medicinal purpose that is so diluted that you'd have to drink gallons of it to get drunk. That's right. If it's in your medicine, and I know somebody said, well, good. Yeah, I'm going to go make me some. It's going to be 90%, have a little bit of something else in it, and it's going to be medicine. Yeah, medicine. But anyway, Lord help me. I didn't mean to spend that much time on that. That's the way I am. If I mention something, if I ain't careful, I'm on it. But we talk about the craving of being filled. We will never be filled with the Spirit of God if there's not a want to and a desire and realize something's missing. And we need something from the hand of God to fill the void. But number two, I want to deal with tonight, what time I have left, I want to deal with, secondly, the command of being filled. Not only the craving of being filled, but also the command of being filled. And in our text passage of Ephesians 5:18, when the Bible said, be filled, when he said, be not drunk, that's a command. But then also when he said, but be filled with the Spirit, that's a command. Now what does the command of God represent? I'm holding it up. Reckon anybody can guess it? The command of God represents the Word of God. The Word of God is the commands of God. The commands of God are the Word of God. So being filled is a command, not a suggestion or recommendation. When God says, don't lie as a command, and you lie, you've sinned against God, right? We could take that same parallel and apply it to other things, but here in our text it says be filled with the Spirit. And so if we're not, then there's a sin element there. So God gives it as a command in John chapter 2, verse 5, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Verse number 7, fill the water pots with water. Jesus is not asking, he's telling them to do this. I don't believe a lot of people in church looks at being filled with the Holy Spirit as a command. I really don't. And I'll tell you why I believe that is because they're not making too much of an effort to obey it. But it's as much as of a command as thou shalt not kill. Amen. That's right. And we avoid that, or at least we're attempting to. We're trying to. Why? Because that's a command. Amen. I mean, I don't want to do it no way. I don't want to kill nobody, because, even if it wasn't a command, right? I hope I never get put in that position. Amen. I've got a carrying permit. Amen. Somebody said, well, you don't have faith. I said, yeah, I've got faith. I got faith that'll fire when I pull the trigger. And I'm praying God to direct it and let it hit where it needs to hit. Amen. Last Sunday, in Easley, South Carolina, in a Baptist church right there in Easley, South Carolina, a man walked in their building, walked in their church service, during church service with a gun, and meant to take over, meant to get the offering, and meant to do damage. But there's some people getting smart, and there's some people packing some heat in church, thank God. They got a Smith & Wesson in their pocketbook and a King James Bible in their lap, and that's good. And there were two men, and they were standing guard. We probably need to start doing that here, locking the doors during service and having men stand guard. And you saw it ain't spiritual. Well, I think it is. And if it's going to let me live a little longer, I like it. Amen. You can look down the barrel of an AK-47 and say, I'm going to pray for you. Well, I'm going to pray for them too. But I'm going to make sure I'm going to try to do my best to protect you if I can, and also to protect myself. That's right. So, well, I don't know where I got on that, on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us, Jesus. But it's a command. I know how it did now. I got on that, thou shalt not kill. Commands of God are not optional. And the Bible's full of them. But they're not optional. Amen? We treat them as such, but they're not optional. I want you to turn to 1 John 5 real quickly. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. I want you to look at this verse of Scripture. I was just going to reference it, but I read it yesterday and this morning, and I thought, man, I need to read that. I need to have people just turn in their Bibles and look at this verse of Scripture. And I probably ought to do more of that, because that gets you familiar with your Bible and keeps your pages unstuck, and you can see the truth for your eye, with your eyes, and not just hear it with your ears. Verse number 3 of chapter 5. Amen. Look, if you will, let's read, let's just read 1, 2, and 3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. That is, if you love God, you're going to love me. If you love the one that did the begetting, you're going to love those that were begotten. Verse 2, By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. That is, we love God, we love the children of God. And what? Keep His commandments. God said, this is in the same verse with, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Did you see that, Brother Silas? God uses the word and to connect us loving God and keeping His commandments. Look at the next verse, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Now I want you to see something here. I wrote it in the flyleaf of my Bible this morning. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Now, I want to ask you something. Is that love of God there in verse number 3 dealing with His love for me, or is it dealing with my love for Him, or both? For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. I wrote in the flyleaf of my Bible, it deals with God's love for us in that He gave us His commandments. And it deals with our love for Him in that we keep His commandments. God shows us He loves us by putting fences around our lives. God shows us that He loves us by telling us, don't touch that and don't do that. Or positive commands, do this and do that. But then we show God we love Him by keeping His commandments. So, but that really wasn't what I wanted you to see. The last part of verse 3 says, His commandments are not grievous. Well, preacher, if I lived according to the Bible and I adapted those commandments in my life, I'd be miserable. God said His commandments are not grievous. I'd never have any joy. I'd never have any more fun. I wouldn't love life. I'd be miserable. No, His commandments are not grievous. The word grievous means His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not heavy. His commandments will not depress you. His commandments will not suppress you. His commandments will impress you. His commandments are not grievous. People living a dead, dull, dried up life is not because they're keeping the commandments. It's because they're walking in disobedience to the commandments. But I want you to see that being filled with the Spirit of God is command. And God's commands are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not weighty. They won't weight you down. They won't burden you down. Not obeying them is what will weight you down and burden you down and take your joy. Well, amen. Partial obedience is disobedience. And we're going to deal with that in another point later on. Not tonight, but later on. Let me ask you a question. We're going to try to wind this thing down here in the next 30 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. How important is the Word of God to the Spirit of God and vice versa? Who authored this book? I didn't ask who was the penman. We know that God used holy men of old as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, Brother Randy, but I'm saying who's the author? All Scripture is given by what inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and so on. This book right here, the Scriptures teaches that it is spiritually written and must be spiritually discerned. The Spirit of God wrote this. I've had people to tell me I can't understand it. And I know there's parts of it that I don't understand even today, but I want to tell you, if that's your general response to the Word of God, you're probably lost. Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives you discernment. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. The Holy Spirit will give you understanding of what the Bible says. What the Bible is. This is not a history book. I mean, it's got history in it, but it's more than a history book. Amen. This book is alive. This book is quick and powerful. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This Word of God right here will light you up and clean you up and stand you up, get you ready to go up. Amen. The Word of God. How important is it? The Spirit-filled life is really you, the Spirit of God, using the Word of God in your life. And I want to give you a couple of examples of that, and we'll be done, as far as I know. Look back in our text. We're going to be back in John 2 in a minute. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. I want you to look at Ephesians 5 real quickly. We're talking about the command, right? And the command is what? The Word of God. Don't ever forget that. Look at Ephesians 5, and I want you to pay attention to something. In chapter 5, verse 19, this is the result of being filled with the Spirit, right? Be filled with the Spirit, verse 18, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Look at it, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Y'all heard me quote that verse numerous times around here. That shows you right there the kind of singing and music you're supposed to be listening to. That's right. Music that you can sing unto the Lord. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. Music that is spiritual songs. Amen. Scriptural songs. And you'd be shocked how many people in church are not filled with the Spirit of God. And it's evident by what music they listen to. But anyway, that's just minor compared to what I'm preaching about now. Being filled with the Spirit of God, it shows us the results of it in verse 19. Look over in Colossians chapter 3. Keep that in mind, what verse 19 says. Which is the fruit of being filled with the Spirit, right? It's the results of being filled with the Spirit. Colossians deals with a lot of things that Ephesians deals with. They go together. Ephesians deals with our positional side and Colossians deals with our practical side. Look at chapter 3. Are you there? Look in verse number 16 of chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And see if you see some similarities now. Teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Do you see that? Ephesians 5:18, or verse 19 rather, is given that same formula and it's dealing with the results of being filled with the Spirit. All right, Colossians 3, verse 16 is talking about the results of the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. One deals with the Spirit, the other deals with the Scripture. And the results are the same. Can you be filled with the Spirit and not be filled with the Scripture? What did Jesus use in John 2 to turn to wine? Water. Fill the water pots with water. Water in the Bible is a type of the Word of God. Ephesians 5, I believe it's verse 26, shows us that, among some other verses. Jesus said in John 2, fill the water pot, if I could say it this way, fill the water pot with the water of the Word. God says, I can take that water of the Word that's filled your life and I can use that and transform that into what I need it to be in your life. You'll never be filled with the Spirit of God if this right here is not meaningful to you. Do you feed on it? Do you read it? Do you meditate on it? Do you hide it in your heart? I don't believe, listen now, I don't believe at all that sin can have a domination in your life if your life is full of the Word of God. Don't believe that. If you're full of the water of the Word, there's no room for nothing else. There's no room for nothing else, Brother Craig. You're full of the water of the Word. But how many people in our church are really, really, really pitifully slack in that area? Are you listening? So the commands of God of being filled with the Spirit, and it shows us in Ephesians and Colossians that to be filled with the Spirit of God is very similar, in fact inseparable, with being filled with the Word of God, letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then the second thing was the water is the Word. And Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. Fill the water pots with the Word, if you will, in the symbolized application. But here I want to close with this third aspect of dealing with the commands of God of being filled with the Spirit. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. I was just going to read it, but I want... to you, but I want you to look at this passage and we'll be done. Matthew chapter number 1. We're dealing with tonight the command of being filled, right? It's the Word of God that tells us to do it, that we need it. Instead of just reading the one verse, I want to read several verses. Look at verse 18. Are you there? Got your Bibles open? Look at verse number 18, and we're going to read down through verse 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Are we doing good so far? Do you see the importance of what's taking place? We're dealing with the very birth of the Son of God, Brother Bob, the incarnation of Christ. Nothing more important than that. The next verse. Now all of this was done that it might be, and here's the word, fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God uses the exact identical same word of Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Here in Matthew 1 in verse number 22, where it showed that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Scripture. And by the way, the Bible also is clear to show us that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus Christ needed to be filled with the Spirit, you do, and I do. Jesus Christ here fulfilled or filled full the Scripture. Was that important? I'm asking a question. I know it's an elementary question, but it's to provoke thought. Was it important that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Scripture? Absolutely. In fact, he fulfilled it every jot and tittle. Every specific, every detail, he fulfilled it. Why? If he'd have been crossed up in one area, it would have disqualified him of being our sacrifice and our Savior. So we all agree with Jesus Christ now. Come on now. We all agree that with Jesus Christ, it was crucial that he fulfill the Scripture or feel full the Scripture. And if we're going to be Christ-like, and there's no way to be Christ-like anymore than being Spirit-filled and filling full the Scripture or being full of the Scripture in our life. We'll be more like Christ when we're that way, when we have fulfilled the Scripture. To be filled with the Spirit is necessary to fulfill the Scriptures in our life. What God says can be put into practice in your life and mine, but it'll only happen as we're filled with the Spirit. And those two things go together, friend. Your attitude and relationship to the Holy Spirit and your attitude and relationship to that book right there. Amen. You can't take that Word of God and just lay it aside and be filled with the Spirit. You just can't do it. Amen. When Jesus fulfilled Scripture, that meant everything that it said for him to do, he did. And if we're going to be Christ-like, if we're going to have an influence, if we're going to be powerful people with God and men, then we're going to have to fulfill the Scripture. What it says for us to do, Brother Craig, we need to do it. But most people look at and listen to the commandments of God as if they're optional. And that isn't the case. May God take and add His blessings to the reading and the preaching of His Word tonight and challenge our heart with being filled with the Spirit of God. It is a command. And a high percentage of, listen, I'm talking about preachers even, a high percentage of preachers are not filled with the Spirit. That's right. Many of them, and I preach around them, I preach with them, and I have even preached for them. And they have there's no spiritual life in them at all. They look at what I'm doing right here as a career, as an occupation. Oh yeah. I've been in their churches, and it's not all like that, but a lot of them. And I can tell that the pastor don't even want nothing from God. Brother Brad, you travel and preach, and it's evident a lot of places you go, the preacher is just performing. And you know what? The people in the congregation, it's all right. They love to have it so, because there's no conviction on their life when it's just a little performance and a little presentation. But when men of God, and I want to be that, when men of God gets full of God, amen, and mount the pulpit with power and authority from God, boldness of the Holy Ghost, and speak, thus saith the Lord, with love in our hearts, it'll put a demand at the heart's door. It'll make you think. It'll make you evaluate your life. And these young preachers in this church, in fact, all the preachers in this church, including me, the Spirit of God, it takes the Spirit of God to do the work of God. Jesus Christ said at 12 years old, I must be up and about my Father's business. He was used of God mightily even as a young person and made a big difference for God. Lord, help us, Jesus. May we desire it at the craving this morning. And then may we also note, Brother Silas, that it's a command. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I pray that you'll take the message tonight. Lord, our feeble effort, dear Lord, to try to deliver it. And Lord, I tried to be honest, tried to be open, tried to be led of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I'm praying that you work in me. Lord, I pray you'll work in me deeper than ever before. And Lord, I pray that I will be a challenge to the people here, Lord, to step up their spiritual life. RBT will never, ever be what you want it to be, what you've intended and planned on it being. If we're just coasting, making light of the command of being filled, and making light of putting in our life and filling our life with the Word of God, the water of the Word. Lord, may we do that. May folk in this building, whether they have or they haven't, may they start desiring and planning and making time to fill their heart and life with the Word of God, the water of the Word. Because it's that you will transform and mightily use in the lives of other people. Lord, may the young preachers in this church, and I call them out because they need to be an example. And if God's working in anybody, He needs to be working in them and through them, preparing them and getting them ready to stand tall when everybody else is bowing down to the gods of this world. Lord, may they get in this altar and say, God, fill me. of the Holy Ghost. God, help me that with all that I have pulling on my life of school and work and chores and all of those things, may I make time on a daily basis to feed my spiritual man with the Word of God. Father, I pray you'll help us now. I believe you're taking us somewhere. I believe you're shedding light on the need of our church. There's no doubt about it in my heart. I feel it. And may we do something with these messages. I know it would, just in a short few days, these messages will have passed and we'll be on to something else. But may we have ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, God, as parents to be filled with the Spirit. Young people, may they pray, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Help me to fill my life with the Word of God. Because it is in vain to pray to be filled with the Spirit if we're not having a relationship with the Scripture, the Word of God. Use us, our Father, for your glory. In this invitation time, in Jesus' name, we pray. And Lord, no doubt for us to get right with God about this thing, and we probably got so wrong with it, it's going to maybe take us a few days to get right about it. It's going to take some changing. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some denial of our flesh that wants to do something that would cater and entertain the flesh rather than to pull aside and focus our attention on the Word of God. And whether ever anybody else does that or not, Lord, please help me to do that. Because you will not take the Word of God in somebody else's life and turn it into wine in my heart. It'll be the Word of God that I put in my water pots, the water pots of my life, that you will use. Have your will and your way in this invitation, in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.